This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Kusu Chuang and Wong Xiaoning. Now, Fitch Ratings has revised the outlook on the ratings of Genting Berhad as well as its wholly owned subsidiaries, Genting Overseas Holdings Limited and Resorts World Las Vegas, from stable to negative.
That's right. So this outlook revision reflects Fitch's view of Genting's reduced ratings headroom because they believe the company is pursuing a more aggressive investment strategy, higher than expected leverage and weaker earnings performance. This, of course, implies a shift from an intensive focus on capital discipline and indicates a weaker credit profile.
So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Erlin Salim, Director at Fitch Ratings. Thank you for joining us, Erlin. So what was the primary reason for revising the outlook downward for Genting Berhad and its subsidiaries from stable to negative?
This is based on our view that the rating headroom has reduced. We feel that the company, Genting Berhad, is increasingly more aggressive in their investments. And therefore, we feel that their projected leverage will be no longer in line with its A-minus rating. So that is what we are trying to capture in the outlook revision.
Will the 49% Empire Group acquisition, which is a related party transaction, put pressure on Genting financials as it is currently loss-making?
I think the acquisition on its own is not very significant. The impact of the 49%, our estimate is that it will increase the leverage by 0.3 on a proportionate basis. It's not very significant. However, what we have not yet factored in is that whether there will be additional capital requirement, because as you also pointed out that Empire is currently loss-making, we feel that there is a very high likelihood that additional capital might be required, or the degree of operating turnaround might be slower than what management is currently anticipating.
Meanwhile, has Genting Group appeared to take on too much as it has ambitious capex plans over the next 2 to 3 years, which will increase its leverage quite significantly? So what are the risks associated here?
I think the most significant one would be weaker than expected earnings from their key assets in Malaysia and Singapore. As we know that these two assets are the most important EBITDA generator for Genting Berhad. And we've seen signs of weakening in terms of EBITDA generation. Although in the interim result, they have reported a relatively flat EBITDA. But I think the pressure remains, especially from economic slowdown in the region. And therefore, there is risk towards their earnings in their key assets in Resort World Genting and Resort World Sentosa particularly. And I think the other risk would be lower than expected actual returns from their investments. As we know that they are investing in Las Vegas, where we feel that there are more competitive pressures than in Asia, and therefore margins and, actual returns of the investment might be lower than what management is anticipating as well.
So, Erlin, what would actually cause you to downgrade their debt from the current A- to a BBB+?
Based on our sensitivity that we have right now, if we see there are signs that they might be or deleveraging might be slower, for example, not on track to reduce leverage to below 1x by end 2022, that could be a negative rating action. So that may be driven by either more aggressive expansions or weaker than expected earnings, as I have mentioned earlier. So a combination of both may lead to Genting not able to reduce their leverage by end of 2022.
Does a history of related party transaction at Genting, like in, for example, Genting UK and Walker Digital Gaming, have any impact on how Fitch tabulates ratings at Genting?
We assess this under our environment, social and governance aspect, or ESG. Under this ESG assessment, we think that the impact is neutral because particularly on the related party transaction, we feel that they are sufficient check and balances, and the due process have been followed properly, and the check and balances also may be contributed by the presence of independent board or regulatory oversights. So we feel that the ESG assessment is therefore neutral to the rating.
Thank you so much, Erlin. And that was Erlin Salim, director at Fitch Ratings. Interesting, because she was talking about the related party transactions, and particularly that this the acquisition of Empire Resorts, it's not that significant on its own. But then that doesn't take into account whether or not there'll be additional capital required. Though I liked the question that you asked, Truong, which was whether or not their previous history of related party transactions has had any impact, because they have actually done a number of them in the past.
Yeah, for example, in 2010, they bought Genting UK from Genting Singapore. Then in 2008, Walker Digital Gaming from the Lim family. And Lim family, of course, control Genting. And we know Lim Kwa Tong is the founder of Genting. So they have got a long and checkered history of related party transactions. And this must have been a bane for fund managers. And you will know this firsthand, Xiaoning.
Yeah, and every time the share price pays a price, literally.
Yeah,
right?
Pays a price.
Yeah, everything just comes down. And yet they do it again.
Yeah.
So, for example, in 2010, the stock fell as much as 10% from that time, 262 to 246 ringgit. And then in 2008, the stock fell even more, 17% or 60 cents from 347 to 2 ringgit and 87 cents. Markets do not like related party transactions.
Because you're buying from the owner, right?
Yeah. And in particular, if the business is loss-making, because it just means that the company, the acquirer, probably has to pump in more money.
Mm-hmm.
And does it kind of smell like a little bit of a bailout, which is what markets don't like, right?
And I think even in particular with regard to Empire Resorts, there was some discussion over the fact that the price at which it was acquired was 18 times price to book, which was considered quite expensive considering it is a loss-making company. So you have to wonder whether there was some kind of, you know, back-end dealing going around there, because it is a related party transaction.
Yeah, so according to the news, Genting Malaysia, then Kian Huat Realty, which is the other owner of Empire, they're going to try and privatize Empire. And in the end, what happens is that Genting will own as much as, they'll basically own it outright. But why would you want to try and buy a lemon and even make it more of a lemon under your ownership?
The whole logic of it is that Resorts World brand in the northeastern US gaming market, you could do then cross-selling with Resorts World Casino in New York City.
That's what the PR guys will have you believe.
Yeah, that's the spin for this. And but as what Fitch points out already, in markets like this, it's extremely difficult. It's not like you're going to get the margins you enjoy in Malaysia or Singapore. It's a different market. There's a lot more players there. There are a lot more places to gamble in US. You've got Las Vegas, which is like the
gambling capital of
the world. Exactly.
Which then begs the question, why go to North America? Why try and play the game when it's so crowded?
That has always been part of Genting's strategy, to be a world gaming kind of company. You don't have your footprint till you have it in Las Vegas. What is the tagline?
So I want to ask,
what stays in Las Vegas? Everybody
stays in Las Vegas.
What happens in Las Vegas
stays in Las Vegas. They really want it to be there.
But you know how last time when you interface with management, right? What would they typically respond? How would they reply? Because they never used to talk to the press on these issues, especially.
Well,
they'll stonewall you? Or?
A little bit. I mean, you buy, in the past, you used to buy Genting Malaysia, or you still buy Genting Malaysia, because it is a proxy to tourism. It is the monopoly of gaming in Malaysia. It's done really well. There's no doubt about it. And definitely, they're trying to turn around their business to be more leisure, to be more MySpace. They know that hardcore gaming revenues are coming down under pressure. But it's these occasional incidences of related party transactions which kind of spook investors. And they could always pay a much better dividend.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.